frankly, there's a lot of bad Catholic content out there. And when I say bad, I don't mean poorly produced. I mean content that misrepresents Catholicism, that misrepresents the church's teaching, and that misrepresents God.
Welcome back to Religion to Reality, where this week we're getting a little bit meta and talking about podcasting. I'm Dave Plisky, and I'm joined by my co-host, Father John Gribowich. Over the last decade, podcasts have grown in their ubiquity, with major podcasts now serving as pit stops for celebrity media tours and major political campaigns. But we also see them becoming part of people's ongoing faith formation. The Bible in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz was even at the top of iTunes charts in 2021. Our own discipleship study showed that podcasts and other faith video content can be a significant aid in allowing people to live out their faith. John, what have you been listening to?
Well, I have my go-to, which is On Being, Krista Tippett. It's perhaps my favorite
Outstanding
podcast of all time, probably. Yeah, I mean, what else am I listening to? My gosh, I should just look at my phone right now because I absolutely love podcasts and I just love to be able to know what's going on out there whenever I can. Well, I'm always a big fan of what we're going to be listening to on this podcast from Paul Fahey.
Third Space. Yeah.
Also was listening to the Telepathy Tapes. Have you heard about that one?
No, what's that?
The kids with autism and how they are actually how they communicate on deeper levels than we imagine with other kids with autism. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. And then a lot of music stuff too. I listen to, of course.
Mm-hmm. Lately, I've been listening to one called Heart's Desire and Social Change, which is from Father Dan Grudy over at Notre Dame. It's a Notre Dame podcast. And I've been listening to it. I'm going to say this almost like a prayer. I'm putting it out there. I'm trying to get him to be an advisor to me in kind of a guided reading that I want to be doing in my studies in theology at Notre Dame. And I haven't been able to reach him yet fully. I've gotten to his assistant. So I feel like I'm getting close, but I didn't realize he even had this podcast. Someone turned me onto it and it's got, you know, it's not only him, but he's got like Richard Rohr appearing a few times. So it's very much kind of speaking to me. And, you know, it's all about kind of the attentive heart, right? It's the same themes that you're bringing up all the time. So good stuff.
Yeah. I guess that makes a merciful or merciless plug for the Attentive Heart podcast.
Exactly. Check out the Dave Plisky episode. I heard that one's really good.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good one myself. Yeah. It's a good place to start.
All right. For this episode, we spoke with three different guests who are all actively involved in the Catholic podcasting space to get a better understanding of the role podcasts have to play in the lives of the faithful. First up is Paul Fahey, a limited licensed professional counselor, retreat leader, and catechist. Paul is the host of the Third Space podcast, as you just mentioned, which focuses on the survivors of various forms of abuse from the church. We'll hear how he got started in the space and his thoughts on what the institutional church could be doing with the medium.
Yeah, I kind of stumbled into podcasts. I wasn't listening to podcasts at the beginning when they came out 15, 20 years ago. It's probably only about 10 years ago that I started even listening to podcasts at all. And it was just a really convenient medium for me. And convenience, like that practicality, is a lot of it, where I like to read. It's hard to find time to read when you have lots of little kids. But I can listen to a podcast while I'm driving, while I'm running, while I'm doing the dishes, while I'm mowing the lawn. So practically, that's why I resonated with the medium. But also as a catechist, there's something about, I also enjoy writing, but there's something about being in conversation with another person and being able to catechize, not in writing, but with my voice and in dialogue, that a podcast is able to capture much more than writing articles, for example. And I really resonate with that and really enjoy that. It's not leading a small group RCIA. It's not teaching a class of junior high students, but it's closer to that than just writing articles. So That's why I've resonated with the medium.
Yeah, especially in dialogue form, there's some immediate feedback. And also for the listener, you know, there's a very real sense of you're not alone. In fact, you're kind of almost feel like you're part of that conversation.
Yeah.
Unable to contribute.
and there's also a level of like vulnerability and spontaneity where I'm able to learn from guests in the moment and respond to and offer my own internal thoughts and reactions to what they're sharing. So there's almost like in the moment creativity that can happen in a dialogue that can on a podcast versus in a static article.
Yeah. Do you think the church is doing a good job of using media like podcasts to reach people? And let me caveat that with, kind of like a sub question about what do we even mean when we say the church, right? Like, obviously you've intentionally moved away from an ecclesial figure in your name. And even when you had it, you were still just a lay people or a couple of lay people putting something out there, obviously talking about church stuff. So I think it's safe to say it was is a Christian or a Catholic podcast. But is it any time that, you know, that as long as someone is doing it in the name of serving God through a Christian lens, that we can call it, you know, a Christian podcast? Or does the ecclesial church need to be involved for it to be something that the church is doing? Like, how do you look at that?
Oh man, I have so many mixed feelings. On a fundamental level, to the question of like, what is the church? I very much believe that anyone who's baptized is the church. So yeah, I consider the work I do as the church doing something. I am doing it and not doing it just as someone who's baptized, but I'm engaging with, I would say, very explicit charisms that I've received from my baptism. The work that I do in this podcast is also coming from my prayer and my relationship with God and my relationship with others. So I see that very much as the church. I have competing thoughts about whether the more structural or institutional church ought to be doing more. On one hand, I want to say, no, leave it to the lay people and let many flowers bloom and just give us the beautiful churches and the sacraments and like just unleash the lay people to do this type of apostolate work. But there's also another part of me that I've listened to many Catholic podcasts. There's very, very few that I actually would recommend to others. And I don't know if it comes from a lack of oversight from the institutional church. I wouldn't want to conclude that too quickly. But frankly, there's a lot of bad Catholic content out there. And when I say bad, I don't mean poorly produced. I mean content that misrepresents Catholicism, that misrepresents the church's teaching, and that misrepresents God, and that actually I would categorize as being spiritually abusive or coercive or abusing people's consciences, being dishonest, often coming, I'm going to presume, always coming from a place of genuineness and sincerity, but still harmful. But I also don't know what oversight structures could possibly be in place to help that, other than the work I'm trying to do with the limited reach that I have, which is empowering people and helping them form their conscience, helping to see these abusive dynamics, to weed those things out themselves.
I love hearing Paul's insight on, first off, who or what the church is, and how he starts with, the church is really everyone. Of course, everyone who's baptized. I mean, that is your kind of identifier. I also love the tension that he kind of brings into the whole equation too, of understanding what is the role of the laity in bringing to the forefront who the church is for people in their life, and to empower the laity to do that as much as they can. I think my only pushback with that is just that, you know, as often as we feel maybe frustrated with the institutional nature of the church as it comes officially to us through, let's just say, priests and the hierarchy, I think that can sneak into the laity as well, where it just becomes another form of hierarchy and institutional type of way of groupthink. So I think that my thing is like, where are we finding prophetic voices to speak in the context today for people to hear? And maybe that's the thing that I think it's kind of something that Paul does. Maybe he doesn't even look at it that way with his own podcast, but the prophetic sense is what I'm always most interested in, to like know how are we being called today. And I think that happens more with the laity than say with the clergy. And I can freely say that as a member of the clergy, but it doesn't always either. So it could be both.
Yeah. I'm particularly interested in the idea of a podcast as a medium different and separate from other media. For example, why is it so important for us to have the imprimatur and Nihil Obstat in books, but you don't see that in podcasts? Like, why is the church not like formally stamped something, or I should say the institutional church formally stamped things that are, you know, deemed free of error and we're okay to put a bishop's name behind this type of thing. Like, why is that a thing for books, but not other, you know, media that have come since? And I wonder also just about the, you know, why podcasting is having such a moment right now. Is it that people just, you know, because let's say maybe based because of TV to start and digital media since, people have just forgotten how to talk to one another, and that podcast is having its moment because we needed to relearn how to have a conversation and just listen to people who are good at doing that? Is that why podcasting right now?
Well, I was thinking more in the lines that because we can't talk to each other in person, that's why we're actually listening to podcasts to avoid us from being having those encounters. I mean, yeah.
So maybe it's both, right? Maybe yeah, it's people know that there's a void of it, but then also it's perpetuating that void in some way.
I think so. I mean, I think Paul kind of said it well in his own way that he got into podcasts because, you know, people have very busy, complex lives and it can fit in a nice, neat way and kind of filling the space on commutes and mowing the lawn and things like that. I think that that's maybe one of the reasons we like to multitask, I think, as people. And this is another way to multitask in those times where you have the space to listen to something.
Listening. It can also be a challenge when it comes to measuring your impact in terms of podcasting. The usual metrics of downloads and hours listened may not correlate with living a more integrated life or practical takeaways for the listener. To take a deeper look at this, we spoke with Christina Simmons, the founder of Say Yes to Holiness, who we actually heard from on the last episode as well. She's got a podcast that has successfully run for hundreds of episodes. She spoke to us about the unique challenges in creating a Catholic podcast and what success should really look like. So, you know, you've been doing Say Yes to Holiness as at the time of this recording, you've got 230 episodes under your belt, which is really impressive. You know, praise be God. And I guess I wonder, you know, first off, what are some of the challenges and opportunities that come from creating a Catholic podcast?
So probably the biggest thing for me was, you know, so as I was getting ready to put my book out, I was encouraged to do a podcast because people are going to want to follow up. They're going to want to talk about these ideas. So that's kind of, you know, where the idea started. And then if you go back to like the early episodes, I was still trying to kind of find, okay, what's my format? How am I going to share? And early along, I was blessed, and I use this example in my book, but about food for the head, heart, hands, and feet. That was something that actually came to me from reading a book by my one of my theology professors, Dr. Bob Masson, called The Charmed Circle. And it was theology for the head, heart, hands, and feet. It was coming at it from an anthropological, you know, I mean, so he was answering theological questions, but that theme has always stuck with me. And it's something of, you know, so talking about like living an integrated life, whenever we're kind of doing a self-assessment of, okay, how am I doing? It's like, okay, my head, you know, what am I doing in order to grow in knowledge? What am I doing in order to be, you know, open to what it is that our Lord desires of us? So, and then, you know, my heart, how is my prayer life? What does my meditation look like? And that's usually what most people just look at when they look at their spiritual life is just their prayer, but it's actually an integrated assessment. Food for the hands. How am I going out and living out the works of mercy? What am I doing? Where is the Lord calling me to minister in my movable square meter? For some of us, it is going to the soup kitchen. For others of us, it's teaching confirmation for, you know, and it depends on our gifts and our charisms and how our Lord wants to use us in that season of life. And then finally, the feet is actually retreat, to go off and to be quiet and to allow the Lord to speak to us. Those are the things that we should be looking at. So like right now, you know, the time of this taping is Advent, but same thing for Lent. And, you know, it's something of you should be periodically looking at your life and saying, okay, how am I being attentive to these things in my life? And those should be, when you look at your new calendar year, those should be the first things that you're scheduling in. An opportunity to go to a conference to, you know, just be immersed, you know, like Bishop Barron does a conference every year, you know, where am I going to go get a bunch of intellectual, you know, formation? Where am I going to be able to be formed, you know, in my prayer life and thing, you know, so.
Right. Clearly yours is a Catholic podcast. No matter how we slice and dice it, that is certainly, you know, your niche. And so I wonder, do you feel like we need to look beyond the normal podcast metrics like downloads and subscriber counts in order to know how effective it is?
I say this, and partially, I mean, I love metrics, I love downloads, but it really comes back to what's the impact. And I remind people all the time, because they're like, oh, you know, I'm not having any impact. If this is something that brings you joy, you know, you're passionate about, it brings you joy and satisfaction, you know, in the process of doing the activity, it shouldn't matter, because this is what God has anointed you to do. Therefore, you do it because there's value that's coming. And I know I have grown, you know, greatly in doing my podcast. So when you're asking the question of should we use different metrics, yes, I could definitely get better at using my metrics in order to get more downloads and stuff. But that's not the thing. The thing is spreading the good news. So if one person's heart has been touched, have you done your task and your mission? And that's hard in our society. That's all about, oh, but if you have that passion and that joy and you're like, Lord, I mean, when my husband, you know, got seriously ill, I mean, I went through a discernment process of where it's like, Lord, do I need to put these things aside for right now? And our Lord was like, nope, I need you to be speaking, you know, and still doing this. And it brought me that joy, that creative, you know, juices that came, you know, from doing it. But then also, I don't know how many people who have reached out and have said, thank you so much for that episode. You know, you speaking to this or that, or, you know, it wasn't just my husband's journey, but also, you know, different things. And so it's about you knowing, discerning well, is this something I should do? And then you do it, not because you want 10 million followers, but you do it because you know that this is work that the Lord wants you to do. Why? For how long? Season? Lifetime? Who knows? But that's why discernment's not a one and done. Discernment is a continuous. So it's something of where when people look and tell me, and it's like, oh, I would never do a podcast because I wouldn't know what to do every week. And I'm like, you don't have to do one every week. You can do it every other week. You can do it, you know, and that's something that I've struggled with as well. How frequently, you know, those kind of things for a season, you know, do you do something for Lent? Do you do, you know, those kind of things. So,
yeah, well, that's good. And I think what you said about process is exactly right. You know, that no matter what, something's happening in your life when you do this. And hopefully that same type of thing, the Holy Spirit can use to make that kind of thing happen in a listener's life as well. Yeah, John, what I'm left with after listening to Christina is, you know, just this idea that what, quote, unsuccessful podcasts don't want you to know is it was really just for us all along. And, you know, whoever else might have wanted to come along for the ride is welcome. But we're, you know, of course, I don't mean that fully. You know, you and I don't need to have all this equipment when we just have a discussion. But we do have discussions all the time, right? Separate from this, where we are growing in community with one another. And I think the idea is, well, we thought we had something to share, and we hope that other people can take advantage of this too. And I hope that that's something that helps you, the listener, grow. We really did think that the learning that we had from our study was significant enough and extensible enough to make a little bit bigger splash with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the whole impetus for podcasting, I mean, I'm sure for a lot of people, it's because they feel like they have something they want to share with people and they feel like they want to be heard. I mean, we go back to that whole need for us to be heard. But I think maybe even specifically with what we're doing here in this podcast, it's almost as if we've been hearing something emerging from out there, meaning from the people that we've talked to, people's just general sense of things right now. And we feel as if this podcast is trying to acknowledge what we've been hearing out there. And specifically with what we've been hearing from the survey itself. So like the statistics and the research that's been now given to us because of the survey that we were able to look at, I mean, it seems as if we're responding more to what we've been hearing more than us trying to tell people something.
Yeah. And ultimately, you know, I think the point is right. Do the typical podcast metrics matter for us here? Yeah, in some way they do. We want to know. I mean, one thing that's going to tell us is, should we even do a season two? You know,
right.
Those types of things. Is this worthwhile? But, you know, at the same time, if there are things that we can't really measure in any good way that are happening, and I hope that they are through the Holy Spirit, those matter even more.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, the exciting part of this too is when you start getting that feedback. You're like, oh, then we're hearing things that are being confirmed by others, or we're being challenged, or we're just being called to go deeper and to look at things differently. I mean, like, that's all win-win-win at that point.
So last but not least, for this episode, we spoke with Jose Manuel de Urquidi, the founder of the Juan Diego Network, a podcast network with a focus on Latino Catholics. The podcasts in the Juan Diego Network cover everything from church history to children's stories. We talked to him about the impact these podcasts can have on listeners, as well as the role of new media in the church. So, do you guys hear stories from your listeners about the impact that, you know, these podcasts are having in their lives?
Yes, well, of course, a lot, and again, depends on the podcast. There's a lot of things. For instance, I told you, like, our mission on the O Network is evangelize, form, and entertain. And some podcasts try to do the three. Some others focus just on two. No, we don't try not to do one just that entertains, just like that. No, or like, I don't know, formation. But there's a lot of very serious podcasts that do formation. We want to be fun somehow, et cetera. So it depends on what we're doing. Our audience is very different, no? And yes, lots of cool things about, like, these podcasts helped me get into the seminary, and now from the seminary they continue listening, or people who were trying to get back to their faith and this was a way. Or, for instance, a really cool one, because that even turned personal for me. Someone, let's say on his 60s, a businessman, has three very good, let's say, sized companies doing really well, went to adoration and really was like, God, like, what should I do? Anything? Well, he came out and he opened Spotify, and in Spanish he wrote Empresario Católico. So it's like Catholic businessman. And he found an episode of a podcast recorded 2019 with a very successful businessman that had founded an organization, and they were consecrating their companies to Christ. Long story short, this guy consecrated the three companies. He has three sons that are in charge of one of the companies. I became really close with two of those. One of them even ended up being in my small group. And it all started because a guy, like, opened Spotify after being in adoration in front of Blessed Sacrament, and he clicked that, and now he's a very close friend, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, of course, that's a personal thing. It's not maybe life-changing. But also, like, there's a lot of testimonies. Well, a lot of cool things. But one thing I realized, like, 2.5 years ago, well, maybe 3 years ago, Dave, it's very cool to think that we're evangelizing, and we love saying that digital evangelization, that sort of stuff. And I don't know. It dawned on me, 2021, I think, 21, yes, that in a lot of senses we're preaching to the choir, in some, or, and I'm being very, like, critical of if myself and what we do. I'm not talking on other people, right? But maybe people listening, or, like, could also agree with us with this thing. No, we are fishing in this very small pond, and now I'm there, and then another, and I'm trying to get a fish, but they're all in the same pond, and we're all there fishing. And here on the other side is the ocean, and of course it's scary, and there can be sharks, there can be, like, a storm, whatever. And what are we doing there, right? People that consume podcasts mostly are people that are already. So is that evangelization? Yes, of course, in some sense, and it's formation and different things. And we've been trying to do more things that are really out there in the good sense for people that are not practicing, that are not still trying to get to know more about Christ, et cetera, et cetera. And well, a lot of cool testimonies are starting to happen there as well.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sort of torn when it comes to where Catholic content creators' best efforts are spent, right? Because you're right. We can't always be preaching to the choir. That's, you know, yes, there is a need for us always to be re-evangelized, even those of us who have been evangelized. You need to continually kind of stoke the fire. But of course, there's a huge need to bring the joy of the gospel to those who haven't heard it, or haven't heard it the right way, or whatever. But so then my question is, what is the right way for that to happen? Almost always, conversion of heart happens in a trusted environment between people who are in dialogue with one another, right? Yeah. Which is not exactly, you know, content's place most of the time. I'm not saying pre-evangelization content isn't worthwhile, but I am saying that there's a reason that we kind of look at the discipleship funnel the way that we do, right? It's these people who are, you know, most on fire for the Lord, who are then bringing people into the top of the funnel, so to speak, as the missionary disciples or the brand advocates for Christianity, let's say, you're doing that work. So I think equipping those people for what they need is very worthwhile. And I think it's rare that a piece of content is going to like be the difference maker in someone's life. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think like personal connection, they need to have some kind of sense of trust before they can enter into, you know, some kind of new idea, right? What do you think?
Well, I think I agree in a lot of senses, but I disagree in so many senses also. Like, 'cause you're talking about a piece of content. Mm. So of course, we're talking about digital. How do you say St. Ignatius? It was a piece of content, right? He was reading books, so impersonal, one would think, right? And so many stories of people throughout the ages that were reading something and that changed him. So why reading, yes, and not audio or video or reading from a tablet or my computer or my cell phone? But a book can, like, et cetera, et cetera. The thing is, there's, of course, a risk. And that's one of the things that I think that the church is, let's say, waking up. There's a really, really cool letter. Well, let's say 2002, JP2 in the World Communications Day spoke as the internet as the new Roman Forum. He talked about the Roman Forum, how that's where social things happen, social activities, religious, et cetera, et cetera. And 2002, imagine, right? He was already seeing the internet as that. And he was very clear. As before, we have been there, right? Where the people are at, having discussions, affecting the culture, et cetera, et cetera. And let's be there creatively. And he was saying that's a place in which we can do evangelization. 2001, it was still internet 1.0, no? Mm-hmm. And it was so prophetic. But he's also saying very, very clearly, and it's a very short thing that I'll send, that's really cool, clearly. But the thing is, being there to bring people to Christian community. And later, 2009, Pope Benedict, digital continent, right? That's when he coined the term. 2011, right. Again, on World Communications, how he's talking about being brave and being out there. And then Pope Francis, the culture of encounter and everything that he's talked about, that the internet. Now we are realizing, if we're seeing it just as an old method of communication, the internet, let's say, one-sided. Yes, of course, consuming TV or whatever could help people, or reading a thing could help. But it's also a place, the internet, let's say, and it has, of course, different, let's say, continents, portals, different platforms, apps, et cetera, channels, et cetera, but it's a place where people right now are spending most of their waking hours, right? Like in these things. And it has its own language. And there's a lot of arguments and, well, there's a lot of cool things happening behind this, that it is a culture in its own. Right. Mm-hmm. And what have we always done with new cultures, or not new cultures for us, new cultures as Catholics for 20 centuries almost? Mm-hmm. Gone there. As Lumen Gentium says, we see identify the seeds of the verb. Mm-hmm. We learn the language. We see how the people, the customs, et cetera, et cetera. We inculturate the gospel there. Mm-hmm. Right. And yes, by preaching, by proclaiming Christ and showing them God's mercy, God's love, that truth, but also by what we do. So if this is a culture and has the elements a sociologist could argue about a culture, like, why are we not doing that? But of course, Christ became incarnated, not an avatar. So it's all like the first encounter, and it's also formation. It's not to keep them there, not going to the sacraments, right? To Christian community. That's very, very important. We need to do that.
John, listening back to our conversation with Arkady, it makes me just think about the orality and the spontaneity of podcasts may be able to access the heart in a way that the written word perhaps often doesn't. And I wonder if, you know, the conversation aspect does get us that much closer to kind of what it's like to be interacting with another person, which often is it can be these ways into these deep encounters with God.
Yeah, I was just thinking about what he was saying. You know, whatever the content is, whatever the words are, whatever is the voice, I think it's all about like how much are we able to connect with the person saying it and giving the content and revealing it or writing it or whatever it may be. And perhaps it is with the podcasting that you get maybe a little bit quicker to the person than maybe if it's just some type of written work in a book. But I think even with, you know, he talked about Ignatius having just books to read, he clearly was able to very much connect with the lives of the saints, you know, as individual people who were going through something, and he was able to connect with what they were going through. It wasn't just somehow abstract words, or not even abstract words, but just words. So perhaps it is with the podcast medium that we're able to just get a little bit deeper, maybe even quicker, into knowing the person behind the voice, because so much is revealed just by inflection and just all those types of little nuances. So perhaps that might be something to consider.
I think that's going to do it for us today on this episode of Religion to Reality. I hope you enjoyed this dive into the Catholic podcasting space with us. And thank you again to all of our guests. Paul Fahey and the Third Space podcast can be found at wherepeteris.com. You can find Christina Simmons over on sayyestoholiness.com and the Say Yes to Holiness YouTube page. And Jose Manuel de Urquidi, as well as the dozens of podcasts on the Juan Diego Network, can be found at juandiegonetwork.com. All of these will be linked in the episode description. Make sure to tune in next week, where we'll be taking a look at the data behind community. Once again, I'm Dave Plisky, joined by my friend, Father John Gribowich, and we hope to see you again next week. Religion to Reality is an initiative of DeSales Media created by me, Dave Plisky, and is produced and edited by Connor Donnelly. If you found value in our conversation, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If you love the show, ratings and reviews go a long way toward letting others know about the show. Go to religiontoreality.org for more details and resources. And if you are ready to take the next step and join in community with us, check out the Called Learning Community, co-founded by Father John Gribowich. Go to calledcommunity.com to sign up for our free online gatherings.